This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined us today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelts. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What a great day it is to be alive, and what a great day it is to know the Lord. I hope you're growing in His grace. Today, I want to talk to you about digital discipleship. Do you have a plan to disciple your children as it pertains to technology and social media, smartphones? If not, it may be that the government takes that decision out of your hands, such as the case in Florida. Recently, those of you who are Floridians will know that Governor Ron DeSantis, along with the state legislature there, made a law, passed a law that makes it illegal for kids under the age of 14 to be on social media apps, to have access to social media, and even limits their ability to have smartphones. And I would love to hear what you think about this. Some have had an outcry in rage, saying that this is classic government overreach, that as a parent, I should be the one who determines whether or not my kid gets a smartphone or not. I should be the one who determines whether or not my kid can go on social media like Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat or platforms like Facebook or any of those. Some would say this is a parent's choice. Others say, no, it's gotten so bad that it's now a public health crisis. Such is the case, again, in Florida, where there is a belief that this, the link and the connection between social media, smartphone technology, has become so apparent and connected to negative social and health outcomes that the government has to step in. I'd love to hear how you feel about that. 877-548-3675. That's 877-LIVE-675. And let's not think that this is just about Florida. I think that this is going to really set the trend for many states in the days ahead. If I were to tell you that there was a known public health crisis that was happening among our kids that produced 71% increase in anxiety among our kids, that increased suicide attempts among our kids by 300%, and also increased chances of depression by 36%, what would you expect the government to do? What would you expect our societal response to be? Well, according to a Yale-published research report, Yale University-published research report, that's exactly what the link between social media and teenagers is. 71% higher for teenagers that use social media 3 hours or more per day, which on average that's happening. If your kid has access to social media, odds are they're using it for 3 hours or more per day. Well, 71% increase in anxiety, 36% increased chance of depression, and three times more likely to have suicidal ideations that leads to attempts. That's led legislators to say, man, we need to step into this. This cannot just be parental choice anymore, that what is being called collective action has to take place. That caused me to think about this. And interestingly enough, I was listening to our good friends over at the Colson Center, John Stone Street, and his team over there. They were doing a podcast on this, and I happened to have my kids in the car with me. And one of my kids said, "Dad, that should never be a government's choice. That should be parental choice." Now, this is my son who's sharing these insights at the wise old age of 10 years old, but he is definitely advocating for a smartphone. According to him, all of his friends have them. He's the only kid that doesn't have one in his class. Again, this is according to him. And so he's advocating and trying to pressure mom and dad into getting him a smartphone. My daughter, who's only 8 years old, says to me, as I'm dropping her off at school today, as we're having this discussion, "Dad, my friend in class has a smartphone." And my immediate response, and she said, oh, by the way, she's younger than me. My immediate response was, "Well, that's not good, Sophia." To which Sophia responds to me and says, "Well, Dad, she's diabetic, and her parents got her a smartphone to help her to test her blood sugar, manage her diabetes." And immediately I felt pretty foolish in giving such a blanket response to such a nuanced reality. Technology, whether we like it or not, has touched every part of our lives. It has become ubiquitous. Everywhere you turn, there is the need and the use of technology. Even in my daughter's friend's case, even in the management of your health. And so it's not as simple as it may seem. But yet, what Governor DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, and those in Florida, in the political infrastructure in Florida there, have concluded is that this is such a public health crisis that it can no longer be ignored. Nor can we simply give individual parents the opportunity to do it, because here's the thinking, is that we need collective action, and if I choose to not let my kid get a smartphone, like in the case of my son Judah, who's only 10, then the belief is that the pressure that will come to him and to us as a family from the rest of the classmates will be so intense that we won't be able to have enough parents that will hold their ground to make any substantial improvement on this. It is interesting to me that it is no longer debatable the impact that smartphone technology is having on our kids. It's no longer debatable the impact that social media platforms are having on our kids. Now, some have tried to argue that this is just a matter of content, that there's too much bad content getting to our kids. No doubt more pornographic images are getting to our children. No doubt more things that threaten to expose them to unhealthy habits, lifestyles, behaviors are getting to our kids. But what many are arguing is that it's not just a message, it's the medium. It's not just cleaning up the content, that even if you cleaned up all of that content, the very act of going to your screens all throughout the day produces anxiety. The very act of posting on social platforms that encourage likes and followers produces anxiety, which leads to stress and depression and maybe even suicidal thoughts when you don't get the type of social acceptance that often we're wired to look for in a social media environment. So some are arguing ban it. Ban it all. I, as a Christian, come back to what does the Bible say? What does the Bible give as an answer here? Should this be a parental and discipleship issue, or should this be a governmental mandate? I want to hear from you, 877-548-3675. I would love to hear from parents, from grandparents. If you're a teacher, in particular, if you're a counselor that's working with teenagers around these realities, I would love to hear from you. But I'm going to say, and this is kind of giving my opinion up front, which I try not to do always, but to give my opinion up front, I think the answer is arguably both. Because if we look from a biblical perspective, in particular Romans chapter 13, the number one responsibility of government is to preserve the life of those citizens over which it has accountability by preventing evil from doing destructive things. Well, if we know that there's something in our society that is doing destructive things to our children in particular, causing increases in anxiety and depression and suicide, if we know that that link is there, then it does seem to be a right act for government to get involved. Now, please know that I recognize the threat in that. I recognize the risk in that. Once you have government regulating cell phone use, social media use, where does it stop? That overreach can continue to expand and expand and expand. Certainly, it will reach into areas that you and I don't want it to. So I'm not naive to that. But yet, I am sympathetic to the fact that if you're a government official or leader seeing this public health crisis and you have Yale research reports, Harvard research reports, when you have all of these collective, you know, peer review research reports that make it undeniable, the connection, then I say to myself, man, there is a responsibility the government has. The problem with government, though, is that it will never be able to nuance any of its legislation to the particular needs of an individual family. It's not designed to do that. So that leads me back to moms and dads. If we're going to make any headway here, it has to start in the home and in the family. So what is your digital discipleship plan? Now, some of you already have it. Some of you have habits, rhythms, and routines that you have instilled in your family that are really working. Maybe it is turning in your devices before you go to bed at night. Maybe it is no smartphone until high school. Or maybe it is no social media until you get out of high school and you start college. Our rule within our house is no social media until 16. That was at least what we've done with our oldest daughter. We try to have some reading Jonathan Morrow's book on smartphones and social media. We try to have our kids read that before a cell phone. Only two of our kids in our homes, two out of five, have cell phones. Not saying ours is perfect. We struggle with this just like every other family struggles with this. But I want to hear from you. What are you doing that is successful, proactive? What are you doing that really is impacting your children? And I said Jonathan Morrow. I'm sorry. It's Jonathan McKee, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. That's been a book that I've had the two who have cell phones in my home read through. Mandatory that we read it, we discuss it, we interact. But again, I'm not saying that any of this is enough, because it is coming at us fast, hard, and heavy. It is all around us, which has led a group of Christian parents to take a particular pledge that we're going to talk about on the other side of this break. Phone calls are coming in, 877-LIVE-675. I'm going to get to your calls when we come back from this break, but I also want to introduce you to a pledge that parents across America are taking that arguably might be the answer. Many are calling for collective action, saying that we're beyond the tipping point when it comes to the impact of social media and mobile devices on our kids. We know the negative impact. We know what it does to anxiety, depression, suicide. So what is our plan? To disciple their hearts, to fidelity in Jesus, and to live a life of flourishing in Christ. 877-548-3675. We'll be right back, right after this.
We'll be right back.
If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it for you if you want to understand and apply the Bible for yourself. Get your copy with a gift of any amount to Equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. What's your plan for digital discipleship for your kids, your grandkids? 877-548-3675. We know the impact, the link, the negative impact that social media platforms are having on our teenagers and arguably upon our society as a whole. But today I want to focus in on the kids. But we should also be evaluating our own addictions in these areas. But what it does in producing anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and ideation, we know the link. It is research supported at this point. So whose responsibility is it to intervene? Is it the government? Is it parents? And if so, what's our plan? Florida just passed a law raising the age to 14. As the minimum age for getting social media apps, making it harder for parents to get smartphones for their kids, for their teenagers under that age. And some are outraged by this being a form of government overreach. Others say that it's time and we need even more. Let's go to the phone lines. Kathy is listening in Bellevue, Florida. Hey, Kathy, thank you so much for listening to Equip. What's your comment?
Hi, my comment is, as a recently retired 32-year Florida public school teacher, I totally agree with the governor. I've seen the devastation and all the things that you named that has been a result of, not monitored cell phones in our youth.
Yeah. What do you say, Kathy, to those who say that this is a parent responsibility, that this should not be by law or legislation? This is moms and dads just need to do their job. What's your response to that?
My response to that would have to be from my other role and my most important role of being a follower of Jesus. And sadly, through what I've seen, there's a lot of parents that do not know how to parent.
Well, that certainly is true, and that's a commentary on what our churches need to be focused in on. We definitely, as pastors, need to take heed to Kathy's comments here and ask ourselves, what are we doing to help to train parents on how to parent? Where do you learn that? We've taken home economic courses out of schools. There really aren't even any civic courses left in most K through 12 schools. Home economic courses are gone. And so where do you learn how to parent, how to make healthy meals, how to balance a checkbook, if we still do those things? That may sound old-fashioned, but I do think Kathy brings up a really good point. Government has to step in wherever there aren't strong families. One of the beautiful things about the Constitution of the United States is this amazing concept of limited government. It's built into our codified documents, and I think it's a great thing. But the limitations on government really are a strong family and a strong church. And when the church is weak or the family is weak, government increases. It becomes an idol, and it has to regulate more than what it should. And that's not me being critical of government officials as much as me saying we need to do all that we can to strengthen the family. Thanks, Kathy, for your 32 years of teaching in Florida, and thank you very much for your call today. Let's go to Mary, who's listening in Indiana. Hey, Mary, thank you so much for listening to Equip. What's your comment today?
Yes, I raised two daughters. They're now young adults. I was explaining that social media is addictive. I absolutely agree with that. The research supports it. I have, of my two daughters, one is neurodiverse, and so she especially struggles with the bullying aspect of it, the addiction aspect of it. She's a strong individual. We're a Christian-based family. She has self-regulated and taken herself off of all of the social media platforms because she is struggling with anxiety and depression, and she finds that that helps. It's so systemic, and she's a young adult now, but even as kids, I tried to, you know, regulate that. It wasn't as bad 10 years ago as it is today, and the content that's on there and the bullying that's on there, and we won't get into the red herring of, you know, there's also, you know, pornographic images. Adults are struggling with this. You mentioned, you know, analyze our own addiction and behaviors in terms of our screen content and time, and it's so spot on. And there are so many weak families, so many women head of household families. There's so many social issues here. you're hitting all the buttons and solutions. It's a very complex problem, and I don't think even if parents are strong parents and involved parents, you know, if that smartphone is in the hands of a kid, even a good kid, I mean, the temptation is just amazing. And the bullying that goes on in that form is just awful.
It certainly is. Thank you, Mary, for calling. It certainly is just as complex and even more than what you stated, what I've stated. And this is why the answers, the solutions have to be multifaceted. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you think about the Florida law and whether or not government should be legislating when kids can get cell phones. Listen, we legislate when they can get driver's licenses. We legislate when people can drink alcohol. We legislate even that seatbelts have to be worn when you're driving. So this is not like unprecedented, but certainly in this area of technology, we can expect new waves of laws to come through. How do you feel about that? But I also want to hear from you. What are you doing as a parent? What are you doing to come up with a digital discipleship plan that helps to offset some of the negative impact of social media and mobile devices? I want to hear from you if you are a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a homeschool family. Would love to hear from you if you're counseling kids. And I love the fact that some retired teachers are calling in, some teachers, because you guys are on the front lines and you see the effects of this. 877-548-3675, 877-LIVE-675. What if the measures we're taking as parents are good but not good enough? What if asking your kids to turn in their mobile devices at night before they go to bed is good but not good enough? What if parental controls are good but not good enough? Well, some families have gone to a further step than just the typical standard responses. Maybe you've heard of Neil Postman before. Neil Postman was a NYU professor. He's an author. He's a media theorist and a cultural critic. His most famous books was the first written in 1985, Amusing Ourselves to Death. His second book, 1992, Technopoly, talks about how ubiquitous technology was becoming. Think about that. He was writing in 1992 about his concerns with technology. Well, he could not have foresaw all that we are experiencing today. But some people, in particular Christian conservative parents, have decided to take what is called the Postman Pledge. Have you heard of this? The Postman Pledge. Families across America are taking this pledge. I want to read it to you and ask you, is this too extreme or does this make sense? It simply says this. These are the words of the pledge. As Christian parents, we recognize that everything God created is good and that we have the great privilege of teaching our children to know, love, and serve Him in the good world He created. We also recognize that technological developments and the culture undermine our capacity to inhabit the world and engage in social life as richly or fully as we ought. Therefore, we pledge for the next year not to allow our children to have smartphones or social media. We also pledge to conscientiously limit our family's use of electronic technologies in general and to cultivate habits of attention and presence that allow us to grow in love of one another and of God, knowing that we were created for deep bonds of community. We pledge finally to foster friendships among our families in the natural, traditional ways human cultures have always done. That's the Postman Pledge, 1 year without cell phones, social media, and limited access to electronic technology. Is that going too far? Or do you think that's exactly what we need to do as families? I want to hear from you, 877-548-3675. Much more to come next up on Equip. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Want to say thank you to our friends and partners, those who support the program prayerfully with your listenership and financially. So grateful for each and every one of you. We could not be here if it were not for God's grace, so often expressed through your generosity. So thank you for remaining a partner, for being in the fight with us to make sure that we're equipping Christians all across the country and beyond to live, share, and defend their faith. Also grateful for our friends in Canada who listen and support the program as well. If you'd like to find out more, feel free to go to our website, equipradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. Or call 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Today we're talking about digital discipleship in our kids in light of the overwhelming evidence that shows links between the negative public health realities that happen to our children when they engage in social media and use mobile devices. If kids are using screens more than 3 hours a day, then they are 71% more likely to struggle with anxiety. They're 36% more likely to struggle with depression and 300 times more likely to have suicidal ideations than those who don't. And I would just simply say, as I've been engaging more frequently on college campuses with college students, I will tell you this is by far the most anxious generation that I've seen. And the number one difference maker is this very topic we're talking about, social media and digital device engagement. So my question for you, do you think the government should be speaking into this through legislation, or do you think that's overreach? But secondarily, what's your plan? What's working for you and your family in this area? I want us to be able to help one another, and I submit to you that the Postman Pledge might just be what I, you, and other families need to consider. Let's go back to the phone lines. 877-LIVE-675 is the number. Esther is listening in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Esther, thanks for listening. Thanks for your patience. What's your comment?
Well, I am very, very glad that our governor here in Florida is doing that, because as a retired middle school and high school teacher, Chris, I saw too much, okay? And parents are not being responsible. And I'm not excluding Christians. I'm including Christian parents, too. They're not doing their job. They're not doing their job. You know, a lot of my students, you know, they confided in me. They would tell me things that were happening or going on. They came once and said, Ms. Johnson, so-and-so, you know, is a 15-year-old girl going to a motel with a, you know, 22-year-old guy. One of the parents.
Wow.
When you have kids who are on social media and you know, a 12-year-old girl meets a 25-30-year-old man on social media,
sure.
They go to a motel,
sure.
They charge the guy for being a predator. Where are the parents? The parents should be charged too. I'm sorry. The parents are not doing their job, and the parents need to do the job. I am very glad that our governor is doing that. I mean, as a parent also, I mean, my kids are in their late 30s, but when they were teenagers, I never got them a phone, never. When they were in high school,
can I ask you, Can I ask you, Esther, how long did you teach?
20 years. Yeah.
How long?
20 years.
20 years. And did you see a drastic change over that time?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I just retired about 10 years ago, yes. I retired early at 60 because it was, you know, the responsibility of the parents is not there. You know, the students are very, very aggressive. You know, they don't want to learn. They don't have the desire to learn. So, it's you know, then you're gonna, you know, they want a free grade. So, you know, as a parent, I never bought a phone for my kids. I never had a computer in their bedrooms. There was never a TV. There was a TV in the living room. That was about it.
It's an interesting thing you bring up. I mean, 10 years ago, man, the world has changed even drastically since then. The smartphone was introduced in 2012. That's when the iPhone comes on the scene and really becomes popular. And, man, has things changed over the past 12 years. So think about Esther. And, again, I go back to Neil Postman, who's writing about this 1985, 1992, the concerns there. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in, thanks, Esther, for calling from Florida. She's referring to a law that Governor Ron DeSantis just spearheaded in Florida that makes it illegal for kids under 14 to have social media and makes it really hard for them to get smartphones, their parents to get them smartphones in some cases and exceptions. It's possible, but it's not easy. And some have just cried out that this is government overreach. Others have said, no, this is exactly where we're at, that the public health crisis is so bad, we need it. Others say, no, this is the parents' responsibility. And some Christian parents across the country have signed on to the Postman Pledge. We're going to put it on our social media sites in just a moment for you to be able to see it. But it in essence says, we pledge for the next year not to allow our children to have smartphones or social media. Friends, I will tell you as a parent, this is it's a real dilemma. It's a hard thing to navigate. It's something that is deeply convicting for me as a dad. No doubt my wife and I talk about this a lot, and we're going to continue to talk about it. But there is we're dealing with a complicated issue, and it requires a multifaceted response. Let's go to the phone lines. Charles is listening in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hey, Charles, thank you so much for listening. What's your comment or question?
Yes, my question is, if we're going to regulate what the kids are doing on social media, on the phone, how are we going to do it over the computer? I feel like kids are more vulnerable to the computer than the phone at that particular time. They have the computer all day. And how are we going to punish the individuals that do not abide?
That's the question.
Get them in jail.
Yeah, that's the question, and I'm glad you brought that up, because laws are only as enforceable as the punishment attached to them. If there is no punishment, then the law becomes flowery language, but it doesn't really become something that has the teeth to really require adherence. And so Charles brings up the question, if governments start passing these laws state by state by state, it all sounds good. I think we all want to see some improvements and headway made here. But the question is, what then becomes the penalty? And how then do you enforce it? It is something that we have to seriously consider as a society. Now, Charles, where I will kind of push back on you, I will say that kids who have cell phones, I think, have greater access even than computers. The one good thing about computers, in particular if they're desktop computers, is that you can put them in public spaces within the home where at least you know what the kid is doing on that computer. When it comes to cell phones, it is really hard to know what your child is doing at any given moment on that cell phone. There are some apps that allows you to copy the screen of your child to be able to see their text messages, inflow, outflow, their search history. So those apps help to make it a little bit easier to regulate. What I will also say is my good friend Rob Reno often reminds us that parental controls are not enough, that what you have to go after is the heart, that ultimately what you're wanting to do is to disciple your children's hearts, because they're going to be out of your home. I got a high school senior, and next year she's going to be on her own. I hope that the reason why she chooses to live for Christ is not because of parental controls. I hope the reason why she chooses not to engage in looking at pornography or other detrimental and sinful things is because God has captured her heart, because maybe mom and dad have influenced her heart towards Christ. It can't all be by legislation. And so there has to be a balance here. I recognize it. I wish that I could give you some simple answers, but I will say this. Every single one of us needs to have a digital discipleship plan for our home and our family, which includes how are we going to regulate this. And I will even say, when we are drafting that plan, that moms, dads, we need to start with us. We need to start with ourselves. What is our relationship to these things, and what are we modeling? I think that it is pretty consistent that parents who have cell phone addictions produce kids who have cell phone addictions. Let's get taking one more call before our next break. Lynn is listening in Akron, Ohio. Lynn, I wanted to get you in before a break. Thanks for listening. What's your comment?
Hi. As a 16-year-old, I absolutely agree with this. Going off of cell phones for a year for adolescents, it would be really interesting to see how many benefits it would have and what would happen after that. So maybe we'd know what to do going forward. But I absolutely agree that it's really affecting adolescents. I can say that because I've been negatively affected by it after I got a phone. I already had issues with an eating disorder, so it really made that exponentially worse and very fast, even though I did get a phone late. But the one thing that really helped with my mother giving me a phone much later than everyone else around me and my peers was that I had much more of a connection to life and my surroundings and nature. And because I had all of those years without any devices, I knew a little bit more how to entertain myself and do other things outside of screen. So I was a little bit more grounded, and I really saw a change after I got a phone, because it sucks you right in, and they design those apps to do that. So I think there should be an intervention, and one thing that parents could do that would maybe help would be to find other things that we can put ourselves in, including prayer. That really helps, especially with ground, to just get grounded in that and grounded in God's word. That helps too, but also nature can be a diversion, to go out, to take walks, to just do other things, find other things to put ourselves in that's good for the mind rather than being constantly enveloped in a screen.
Well, first off, Lynn, I just want to say I wish you could be my co-host. You are awesome, and you just articulated yourself so well. I want to commend your parents as well. They're clearly doing a number of things right, and while there are no perfect parents, you're blessed to have the parents you have. Thank you, Lynn, for your call. Thanks for listening to Equip. You know, as I listen to Lynn, 16 years young, she's echoing what I hear so many college students saying as well, so many that are even among her age group, that, man, I had so much anxiety, so much stress, but when the cell phone went away, peace began to come into my life. in a way that I desperately needed it. Why are so many taking on the postman pledge of 1 year without cell phones or social media devices? It's because it allows us to engage in a world more richly. It allows us to foster friendships among family and friends in a more natural and traditional way. Taking in nature, going for walks, talking with people face to face. I want to say one more thing that Lynn reminded me of. Whenever I see my kids getting too much and too deep into technology, it is a reminder to me that I need to engage them more. I need to provide alternatives as a parent to just staring at a screen or playing video games. A lot of resources. I mentioned Jonathan McKee's resource, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. Find out more at our website, equipradio.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. This is probably a three-hour discussion we're trying to fit into 1 hour. But, man, we could talk more and more about this. I do want to encourage you, talk about this as a family. Invite your kids into the discussion. They're going to bring perspective that you need them to bring. Ask them, how do you think social media is impacting your mental, emotional, and spiritual health? Ask them, how do they feel like cell phones are impacting them? You don't have to simply, as a parent, dictate to them without listening. We can involve them in the conversation. Lynn is evidence of that. And I so appreciate her call. But I would also say that as a parent, we need to have a plan. You and I have to have a plan. And it starts with our own hearts, because I think that good virtues are received and passed on best when we model them as opposed to simply mandating them. And as again, as Robin A.B. Reno from Visionary Family Ministries reminds us, we need to hopefully win their heart first. And that's what we're going after. Let's win their heart and hopefully win their heart to Jesus. Let's go to the phone lines. Carla is listening in Illinois. Hey, Carla, thank you so much for calling. What's your comment?
Hi, Chris. I just wanted to say that in the state of Illinois, there's actually a current initiative they're wanting to put on the ballot about parents' rights, and that would be the thing that concerns me. I'm like you. I waited till 16 for smartphones with the kids, and we've tried to do different things. I have all the concerns of everyone who's spoken already, but it's a little bit double speak, because the same parents that would sign the an initiative that we want to have parents' rights would also agree with this legislation. So it's a really hazardous situation. And I don't, like you said, I don't know what the answer is. Another thing that I see is that parents rely on the cell phones with their kids out of fear. And that would be something I would encourage people to do. If you send your kids to church camp and the church camp wants them to not have a cell phone all week, you know, make sure your kid doesn't have the cell phone. Don't make sure don't have it because you're scared of, you know, not keeping in contact with them that week. There's things parents can do to help.
Well, you know, you just brought up a great, great example of this. We recently implemented that rule here at our church. We wanted our kids and teens to be more present when it came to retreats. And so we have implemented a cell phone free environment, and our student ministry leaders and directors have communicated to me and to our leadership team that, man, there's a huge difference, and our kids are more present in worship, more present when the Bible teaching is going on. My only regret, Carla, around our implementation of this at our local church was the fact that I wish we would have started with adult conferences first. I wish we would have modeled it instead of just mandating it. And we started with our teens, and we're going to invite our adults into this as well. But I wish our approach would have been, say, our men's retreat, not having cell phones there, and then coming back and being able to say to our kids, you know, we had such a rich experience. It so enhanced our ability to focus and be present and receive from the Lord that we want you to experience this benefit as well. And so I'm all for it for the kids. I'm all for the church helping in this environment. But I do think that it has way more credibility when we start with ourselves. And I'm not saying any of that is easy, because I'm getting calls in, and I can't get to every call, but I'm seeing people calling in saying, like Catherine in Detroit, I need it for my job. I mentioned earlier my daughter mentioning her friend who's diabetic, needing it for health apps. There are so many exceptions and nuance to this, but yet I will simply say that we all need to have a digital discipleship plan. So as we conclude this conversation, I would encourage you to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, and ask the Lord for wisdom on how you can regulate your use of technology, and to also be honest with yourself, to have a family discussion and say, how is this negatively impacting us? I know there's a lot of benefits that are out there. Some are calling in right now, like Karen from North Ohio, Idaho, saying, I was in the tech industry. I sold mobile devices. I want to make sure that I'm clear. Praise God for those of you who are in technology. There's so many huge benefits. But in the same way, every blessing of God, if abused, can become a vice that pulls us away from Him. So let's surrender all things to Him and for His glory. Friends, I hope this was a blessing for you. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equipped with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.